Thank you, Pastor. Good morning. I bring you greetings from the Church of the United Brethren in Christ in Sierra Leone. And once more again, I'm happy to be with you here. As you've rightly heard from Pastor, I think I was here 3 years ago. And today, again here, I'm here with my brothers from Philadelphia. Actually, we have two churches, and two UB churches, African churches in Philadelphia. We have Joabo's Church. That church has given birth to another church that is called New Life. And we have members from both churches here with us. And the first two guys you have here, Samuel and Desmond, can you please let them see you? They are from the new church, New Life Church in Philadelphia. And you have Magnus, who was here with me the last time. He's from Joabo's Church in Philadelphia. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you again for another opportunity, Lord, to stand before your children and share on the work that we are doing as a church in Sierra Leone. I pray and ask for your presence to be with us even as we share together on missions. And I pray, Father, that you reach out to us and touch every heart so that we'll be moved for your work outside America and bless others, Father, that has taken up the mantle to make sure that the Great Commission has been fulfilled. We ask your presence to be with us throughout the session. In Jesus' name we pray. Actually, I want to start by thanking you for all the work all of us have been doing together over the years. Your churches in North America have contributed tremendously to the mission field in Sierra Leone. And I bring you greetings from the church and very special greetings from my family and my wife in particular. And I want to thank you for all that we have been doing. You see, most times people enter into situations because of misfortune, and false impression, and experimental reasons. And when these people are faced with hard times, they ever regret their entering into such a situation. And some may even say that I know that this is not my place or that God doesn't want me to be here. Mankind has often been tempted to believe that his own success in life is dependent upon himself, his educational achievement, his political affiliation, on his social status, and thereby making God the second point of contact. And even sometimes God is left out of the situation. Well, our man Jesus Christ, the man for whom all of us are yearning, who gave us the Great Commission, is not a man like that. Christ was and is a man with a body and heart. A man with body and heart. And because of that, when he was called into the temple to minister to people, to read from scriptures, in Luke, the Bible tells us that Jesus quoted straight away from Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2. And listen what he said in those two verses. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, and to comfort all woman. And this was why Jesus came. Most times, we as a church or even parachurch organizations, we go out looking out for mission statements when we already have one in the Bible. This is our mission statement. That was why Jesus came. In Luke 19:10, he said, Christ came, the Son of Man came, to seek and to save that which is lost. Period. And that is mission. That is Jesus' mission. And today, you and I, as he said, have been anointed. As Christians, we have been anointed to take out the good news, to preach to the poor, to help the needy, to deliver the prisoners, to stand for things that are not correct in our communities, to comfort those who mourn. This is supposed to be our mission. Probably, you may not have the strength to go out, but you have the means, you have the resources to support others who are outside there, to support others who are willing to go out to carry out the Great Commission. And so you have been anointed to do that work. You have to pray so that God will touch your heart to move out, to support those who are out there on the field. It's all part of missions. And that is why I have come here, and that is why I always come to the United States to talk to you about what we United Brethren are doing in Sierra Leone, the other part of this world. About 162 years ago, missionary left here with the same burden that Jesus Christ had at heart, and they went to Africa to establish the Church of the United Brethren in Christ. And up to now, about 162 years, we, the nationals, are still holding the fourth. The gospel that was planted 160 years back in Africa has grown and is still growing, and we have moved into another country, and we are planning to go into another country else. And that's why I'm here, just to share with you briefly what we do as a church. That is the map of West Africa. And on that map, unfortunately, if I had a pointer with me, you should have seen where Sierra Leone is. Sierra Leone is a very small country on the west coast of West Africa. Okay? And we are 7 million, brother, our population. And out of that 7 million population, you have as just 25% that are Christians. And you have 70% Muslims. And we have 5% of people who are still practicing African traditional religion. So that's Sierra Leone. And if you can see our statistics, sorry I cannot look at those numbers from far, but if you look from our statistics, we have there 56 local churches, and we have 7 preaching points, and we have ordained ministers 51, licensed ministers 9, and we have a total adult membership of 6,800, and you can see new converts in 2016, 283, and you can see average worship attendance per Sunday is about 5,100. And what we do about our mission is evangelism and church planting. And one of the key tools we use is the Jesus Film. The Jesus Film is very, very good. It's a tool that we use to reach out to the unreached. And if you can see from that picture, you can see people viewing the Jesus Film. What we do, we go out to unreached communities, and we gather people like this. And we are working amongst one of the most radical Muslim groups, the Sunnis. And these are the vice in the southern part of Sierra Leone. Okay? And so we go there, we call people from other denominations. It doesn't mean just UB people. We call people from other denominations, pastors from other denominations. They come together, and after projecting the film, we allow everyone to minister to the people. And then we follow them up, give them some training, and then get them baptized. So from there you can see one of the sessions where we go out to baptize some of those unreached people that have come to the saving knowledge of Christ. And for last year, this is just the statistics of what happened, you know, during this session after projecting the Jesus film. You can see the statistics over there for the film ministry in 2016. You can see the total number of viewers. In totality, for 1 year, it's about 5,537. And when you come down, you can see their categories. You see the number of people who received Christ. You have a total of 1,124. That's the totality. And then after that, you have the number of people, grand total of those that were baptized. There's 669. And what we do, actual people that went into UB churches. Okay, because as I said earlier, we invite other ministers from other denominations. And so our main goal is to reach people for Christ, not to reach people for United Brethren. That's not our goal. to reach people for Christ, not for United Brethren. It is left with you. We'll only direct you to a Bible-believing church. That's just what we do. We direct you, be it Baptist, be it Wesleyan, an evangelical church. That's what we do. Okay? So you can see those that came to our own churches at 2 Street. Quite recently, those that listen to news from Africa or West Africa, you may have heard about a landslide that took place. The pictures are so horrific that I will not want to show them out. But this was the site. And I did this, I'm doing this because still we are receiving donations from North America to the victims and survivors of this incident. So that's just why I'm presenting this one, so that you can see the site of the landslide. And as I speak, there are people that are still buried underneath that place. Over 1,000 people died. Those that were actually recognized. Others were mutilated. They were not identified. And those that were identified, bodies that were identified, were over 1,000. That was what, you know, we have gone through a series of things like this. After the Civil War, we had Ebola. And now this was what happened a few months ago. But we want to thank God and we want to appreciate those of you who have donated or are still donating to the victims of this mudslide. And that's just me. You can see one of the children I'm carrying there. These are kids that they did not see their parents. They died in the incident. And so we are looking for foster parents, or people, families to foster them. Families that we donate and know and get them survived. They have a lot of them in the camp. We have them in the camp. And we are working together with the Council of Churches in Sierra Leone. You know, we have a council, all the evangelical churches in Sierra Leone. We have what we call Council of Churches in Sierra Leone. We come together for national crises like these ones. And so, and we have partners like you overseas. We, as a church, we have been in Sierra Leone for over 160 years. And we are not just staying. We decided not to just be in Sierra Leone, but then to move out of Sierra Leone. And so we went into Liberia and started a church in Liberia. That's just our neighbor. We're sharing boundary with Liberia. And now we have 9 churches in Liberia. February this year, we ordained the Bishop of Liberia. So now we have 2 conferences in West Africa, UB conferences in West Africa. We have 1 in Sierra Leone, and now we have 1 in Liberia. And those of you who were at the General Conference or the National American National Conference, I think I came with the Liberian Bishop so that everybody will see him. That was during his ordination, okay? And again, we do not want to stop just in Liberia. We are targeting English-speaking countries in Africa. And now we want to go to the Gambia. The Gambia is a Muslim-dominated country. It's a Muslim-dominated country. And this is our next step. We are done with Liberia. They have their own leadership. And we're now planning to move into the Gambia. And we're asking for your prayers because we need to be a little bit aggressive in moving with the gospel, because we still have people that have not been reached, and to want to make sure that we reach them for Christ. And we are also in ministry, we are also working closely with our government. We complement government's effort. And if you can see from that, we have schools, both primary, nursery, and secondary schools all over the country. We have, you can see from that statistics, we have preschools, about 11 of them, and we have primary schools, 62, and we have secondary schools, 9, and we have 1 nursing school where we train nurses, and we have a vocational school. We are also proprietor of TET, that is the Evangelical College of Theology. Evangelical College of Theology, that is where we train all our pastors. That Bible college was established in 1964 by the United Brethren Church. It started in Bumpe, and now we have other denominations coming in. And so we are complementing greatly to the education system of our country. You can see that's one of our primary schools in Bo. Okay? What we do, our main goal, this is my own area because I like working with children. I tell you and I challenge you, if we all go out and make sure that the little ones are reached for Christ and they are well grounded in the Bible, we'll change our nation. We'll change our nation completely. Most of the things that are happening now is because most of these kids, when they have grown into youth or adulthood, they don't have Christ in their heart. And so they can do anything that they want to do. They can take guns and go into the bush, or go look like what happened recently in Texas. So frustrating. And so that is why we are training up these kids. When we go to our schools, you go to our schools, every morning we have morning devotions. They will stand in the line like that outside their classrooms, and then someone will come and teach them before they go into their classes and start the day's work. That's what we do. And on Wednesdays, they have chapel services where they have the opportunity to have ask questions about the Bible. And we're also having a school at Pujong. You may have, I know most of us know Pastor Mog, Michael Mudge. Michael Mudge, this is his own project. He has this project at heart. And this is where we are, because most of the churches around this area have been supporting this Pujong project. And these are the Sunni Muslim kids we are working with. And that is how far we have gone with the Pujong project. That's our nursing school in Matru. And whenever I come out, I make appeal to people, those who are nurses, those who are doctors, those who are medical practitioners, or, you know, you can be from any other background. We want people to go out there. When you have the chance, you can spend a week or two with us in Sierra Leone and assist in any field. We have various areas that we can send you to work. As I talk now, we have 4 missionaries out there that are working with us, and some, maybe they are there, they are there for two years, and there are some that goes on short-term programs, and like 2 weeks, and then they come back. By 2 weeks from now, I'll have a team of 4 from Huntington University that will be going also to Sierra Leone on a short-term program with the Director of Global Ministries, Jeff Blairville. And also we have the hospital in Matru Jong. At the hospital, we have a series of challenges. But we thank God, because some of these challenges, as we pray together and as you pray for us, we're having solutions to some of them. But for now, we have Doctors John and Helen Yonda. We have Pam McKay and Matthew Hasha. These are the missionaries that are there, are working with us currently in Matru Hospital. That is part of the hospital, and Matru is about 200 miles from the capital city. We are also doing a solar project, because for some time now, the hospital had been going without electricity, without power. And we are working on this project so that we can supply the hospital and the township of Matru. Can you imagine, most times when people want to do surgery, they have to ask relatives to provide gas for the generator. Yeah. Can you imagine that? And so we have been in that kind of situation for so long. We are now praying so that we can have the solar system that we, you know, power the theater, part of the hospital, and then part of the community. We're also having a water purification project. Pipe-borne water is very hard to get such water in those communities. And so we dig wells, we purify these waters, we packet them, and sell it to the community as fundraising activity for the hospital, so that we can use some of these funds to pay our staff at the hospital. For churches also, if you know ministries back when missionaries went to Sierra Leone, this is one of those structures that they built. And now these are what we are having in some of our areas. So you see, it's not that we are not just sitting by, you know, to look at those old structures that were put up by missionaries, because by then the population was so small. But these are what we are doing now, you know, on our own effort. That's the biggest United Brethren Church in Sierra Leone. You know, people call it the cathedral. They call it the UBC Cathedral. And I pastored this church for about 22 years before I became bishop. I was there for 22 years. I started the work. It was also a very small church. And then I started that work until where it is now. Okay? And we have auxiliary groups like the WMF. I heard that, you know, WMF is no more operational in the United Brethren Conference in America. But the women are so powerful. They're very strong, powerful people. We use them in evangelism. Whenever they meet in their meetings, they have committees. And they also they partner with us. They go out and they have different programs, training programs. They organize training programs for women in their communities, especially for the disadvantaged, the aged. Always go out and help us. So we are all working as a team. We also have the children groups in our churches. We have what we call AWANA. I don't know if you have AWANA programs here, but we have AWANA program and we have good news organizations. As I said earlier, this is my heartbeat. We want to raise up these kids so that they will become successful and Christian adults in the future. Can you imagine if you have a Christian doctor, you have a Christian teacher, you have a Christian nurse, you have a Christian accountant, you have a Christian judge or attorney, you'll be making a great nation. You know? And how would that happen? Only when we bring up these kids in the Lord. But without that, then we'll mess up everything. We also work with the youths. The reason working with these young guys, the middle-aged, the youths, is that they are also vulnerable. They are easily attracted. Like in our society, where we don't have, the job opportunity is very, 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 very so small. These guys are idling around. So most times, it's our responsibility to reach out to them. Like we organize programs for them, like games, musical concerts, seminars, classes. So we teach them and just present the good news to them so that they will get something in their brain. But when they are idle enough, they create problems in the community. Remember, we had war for 11 years. What happened? People went through these young people. They influenced them. They poisoned their minds. And they took arms and went into the bush. And so it's the responsibility of the church to make sure that these young ones are cared for and that are properly trained. So as a church, we take up some of these responsibilities. And that's why we usually come out and make appeal to you for the mission field out there. Because these are responsibilities. As Christians, it's our own responsibility to reach out to them and make sure that they are saved so that they cannot go back into those things in which they were. And also, you can see, before I take my seat, we have all of these things that we are praying for. These are some of our needs when we go out and we ask you to pray with us so that the Lord will reach out and touch and make sure that the ministry or the Great Commission to be fulfilled in that part of the vineyard, we need some of these things. You can see, for the rehabilitation of the secretariat is the bishop's office. That is where, since after the war, we have not done anything on this building. And we want to rehabilitate it and get it fixed, equipped, so that we can get the staff in there. And we also have the Pujom project, via the school that I showed you, the structure, and now to complete the project, that is exactly what is needed. And the Vai, as I said, these are Muslim-dominated areas. We are working among them. Because when we reach their kids, they'll go back to their parents, you know, and when they see that their children are educated, they also bring their parents into the church. That is what happened exactly in some of our areas. And also our regional leaders. Honestly, the roads that we use to reach out to these people are very, very much terrible. The only thing that goes into some of these areas are motorbikes. And then one of these motorbikes is $1,300 out there. And so we have four regions. And that's why I'm praying that God will provide motorbikes for those people that are willing to take the gospel out, at least so that you can have motorbikes and go into those bush and meet people. And also we have our yearly partnership dues to TET. As partners with the Evangelical College of Theology, we pay yearly subscription of $3,000 every year for the administrative running of the conference. And now use vehicle for evangelism. As we want to go to the Gambia, you know, air tickets are so expensive, and we prefer going by road most times. We prefer going by road. And so that's why we are praying for any used vehicle. There are things that you think that they are not good or useful to you here. They are useful to us there. We use them. No matter how they are, we repair them, and we make use of them just to make sure that we go out to the gospel. And also, we are praying for engine for the vehicle that I am using, Pastor, the bishop's vehicle. As at now, we don't have any means to move out, except we pray that the Lord provide some of these things for us. And finally, as I said, we want to step forward to go into another English-speaking country, Gambia. We want to do feasibility studies and see how we can take the gospel to them as we did in Liberia. As at now, these are prayer requests, and I want to thank you for listening, except if you have questions or clarifications that you want me to make, then I'm available. I thank you for giving me this opportunity this morning. Yes, sir. This question comes up in every church that I go. In Sierra Leone, we are one of the most religious tolerant countries in the world. Most of us came from Muslim backgrounds. And you go to certain areas, you have a church here and you have a mosque here. Like the missionaries, when they went to Sierra Leone, they reach out to tribes. We have 16 ethnic groups in our country. The Yubis went to the south and part where you have predominantly the Mende tribe. And so people call the UBC church there Mende Church. When you go to the north where you have the Wesleyans, in certain parts of the north where you have the Wesleyans, they call them the local church because you have the local people there. And you go to certain areas in the north, you have the Limba church. So we don't have problems with Muslims. We interact like it is Christmas time. You will see they will celebrate Christmas more than us. We all celebrate together. They come along, they dance with us, you know, play with us. That's how we are. And you have certain families. You can have two brothers. One is Muslim and the other one is Christian. They will sit back, they eat, they talk and do everything. So you cannot do anything to your brother. Like where we have the Limba Church and the Limba Mosque. When it is Ramadan season, the church will raise offering. And then they will buy sugar, flour, and present it to the mosques as their gift. You know, and during Christmas also, the mosques will do likewise to the church. Like these things you're gathering, where are they? The Operation Christmas Child. We don't just keep it. We receive it also in Sierra Leone. We don't just keep them to the church. These are one of the means we use to reach out to these Muslims. We give their children. We give it out to their kids. And what we do, we take shots, we take pictures of these things and send them back to you. So we don't have any problem with Muslims in Sierra Leone. Quite recently, one of the Muslim clerics, a Muslim scholar, came from South Africa. His name is Murigi. He went to Sierra Leone. And at the National Stadium, you have all of these Muslims came together. And he told them that any Muslim who do not believe in Jesus Christ is not a proper Muslim. He said that in the stadium, and he told them to stand up and shout Jesus 7 times. They did. So that is how we work with the Muslims. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Nigeria is really, they are having problems. The Christians, there you have the Boko Harams. They have the Boko Haram in Nigeria. And they are not safe. The Christians are not safe in that part of the continent. Really, they are not safe. But we are praying for them also in Sierra Leone. We are praying for them. Okay? Any other question? If not, Pastor, thank you.
Thank you.
Pray for me, so.
Yeah. Well. Let me just pray. Lord, we just thank you for Bishop Passima and the work that you were doing in Sierra Leone. Lord, the work you've done for